The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The disciples of John approached Jesus and asked, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and on that day they will fast." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we begin this retreat, and the readings of the Church have us focus on fasting. This is a very good way to begin any retreat, because on retreat we first fast from the various ways that we live in the world, leaving them behind at least for a time. But we fast always in order to increase a hunger for something that God in His generosity wants to give us. He wants to fill us with something quite profound, that unless we open ourselves to receive it, we can't receive it at the depth with which He wants to give it. And so today, as we hear what Jesus describes about fasting, let's not only focus on that as one of the three principal medicines that God gives us every Lent to heal us, but let's also look at the larger context about what fasting symbolizes, not just for us in a retreat, not just as we enter into Lent, but the way we live our Christian life. 2 days ago on Ash Wednesday, Jesus told us all that He wanted us to fast differently from all the rest. Those who look gloomy and neglect their appearance, who put even white paste on their faces to make them appear more pallid so that everyone else would be able to notice. Jesus tells us that the type of fasting He wants is meant to be done to bring us into communion with the Father, who relates to us in secret. He wants us rather not to seem like we're fasting, to anoint our head and wash our face so that nobody will be able to notice what God wants to be able to give us. Jesus asks of us a different type of fasting. But on the surface of today's gospel, Jesus implies that He was preaching, but not practicing, His own teaching on fasting. Perhaps the rumors may have been told to the followers of John the Baptist that before He began His public ministry, before He met John at the Jordan, Jesus had gone without food and drink for 40 days in the desert. But it didn't appear that He and His followers were fasting at all now. That's why the disciples of St. John the Baptist came to Him to ask why His disciples weren't fasting the way John and the Pharisees were. John, as we know, was an heroic faster, living basically off of locusts and wild honey. And we can presume that many of His disciples were imitating His asceticism. Unlike the Pharisees who used to criticize Jesus in order to try to entrap Him, John's disciples seemed to have a genuine interest in the truth about what they needed to do, and were shocked that Jesus and His disciples seemed to be lax when it came to this spiritual discipline. Delicately and respectfully, they asked Jesus why His disciples weren't fasting, as if Jesus Himself, the Lamb of God pointed out by John, might be an exception to the discipline followed by others. Jesus gave an important principle. It's one of the most important principles in Christian life. Can the sons of the wedding chamber, the loose translation wedding guest doesn't do justice to the Greek, sons of the wedding chamber basically mean groomsmen. Can the groomsmen mourn as long as the bridegroom is there with them at the wedding? The time will come, Jesus adds, when the bridegroom will be ripped away from them, and then they'll fast. Jesus was highlighting two things by this principle. First, He was identifying Himself as the long-awaited bridegroom that the prophets Isaiah and Hosea had foretold. He was defining the apostles as the best men, awaiting the time when the bridegroom would go to meet the bride and the bridesmaids and take them for the wedding reception. It was not a time of mourning, which was one of the two purposes of Jewish fasting, mourning over one's sins. The other was supplication. It was not a time of mourning, but a celebration. And Jesus here points to the fundamental attitude of those who associate with him. It means to be celebrating at his presence. We Christians, by our baptism, are sons of the wedding chamber, heading toward the eternal wedding banquet, and we need to be marked by the joy that is always associated with those in the wedding party. But second, Jesus mentions that a time will come when the bridegroom will be violently torn away, which happened in the Garden of Gethsemane and then on Calvary. And then they would fast and mourn on that day like a bride would if her husband were kidnapped or killed. The question we should ask ourselves as Christians is, why then are we fasting in Lent today? Why is this a 40-day period of fasting? The bridegroom was ripped away for a time, but rose from the dead 40 hours later and returned. And as he ascended into heaven, he asserted that he was going to be with us always until the end of time. The same bridegroom is with us in the tabernacle, who is with the disciples of John the Baptist and the sons of the wedding chamber. So why do we fast if the bridegroom is still with us? The reason is because even though he is with us, we're not fully with him. Parts of us are in communion with him, and parts of us don't even really want to be sometimes. The reason why we fast is to seek to bring those parts of us that are not united with Jesus into union with Jesus. Our fasting increases our hunger for what God is hungering for, until every cell of our body desires what he desires. That's why we fast. That's the type of fasting God speaks about in today's first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Israelites were fasting, but God wasn't pleased because they thought their going without food during daylight hours alone somehow was enough to get the Lord to listen and answer their prayers in exactly the way they wanted. God sent the prophet Isaiah to sound the call to conversion so that they would grasp that fasting, the fasting the Lord desires, is for them to hunger for what he hungers. Cry out full-throatedly and unsparingly, the Lord instructs Isaiah. Tell my people of their wickedness. They declare to me what's due to them. Please to gain access to God by their bodily prayers. Why do we fast, they ask, and you don't see it? Why do we afflict ourselves and you not take note of it? The Lord then answers their questions. He says, because on your fast day, you carry out your own pursuits, not mine, and drive all your laborers rather than treat them with charity and mercy. Your fast ends not in a communion of love, but in quarreling and fighting, striking with wicked claw, an image that brings to mind Revenant in Leonardo DiCaprio and a bear trying to rip him apart. Would that today you might fast so as to make your voice on high. God loves them and wants to answer their prayers, but not when all they think they need to do is abstain from food while continuing with unjust and evil practices contrary to his will. God tells them then what he hungers for and instructs them to the type of fast that will get them to hunger for the same things. He says, this is the fasting I wish. Release those bound unjustly. Set free the oppressed, breaking every yoke. Share your bread with the hungry. Shelter the oppressed and the homeless. Clothe the naked when you see them. And don't turn your back on your own. God wants us to be starving for what he starves. For us to release his sons and daughters imprisoned unjustly. breaking the yokes that bind them to slavery and servitude, feeding his hungry sons and daughters, clothing the naked ones, and in a particular way, caring for our family members. Jesus himself would say that he had come to set the captives free. He would personally identify with all those in such circumstances, reminding us that we would be judged. We would go to heaven or hell on how we responded to him in disguise when he was hungry, naked, imprisoned, or sick. At the beginning of Lent, God wants to remind us that our fasting is meant to help us unite with those who fast every day, not by religious choice, but by poverty and circumstance. It's not only meant to help us to understand their lot better and engender compassion, but also to move us to help to feed them. The food we don't eat on a given day is not just to remain in our refrigerator for tomorrow. It's meant to be shared with those who have no food now. The purpose of our fasting is to unite with Christ those parts of us that are not yet hungering for what he hungers. And through the prophet Isaiah, God tells us very clearly what he hungers for. And God wants us to be hungrier to care for the poor, needy, and oppressed than someone who hadn't eaten for days would be for a piece of bread. That's the type of transformation God wants to work in us. In Lent, on a retreat, and in life. So today, as we come to Mass, at the beginning of these sacred 40 hours, Jesus, the bridegroom, wants us to learn from him how to hunger for what he hungers. He wants to teach us how to fast so that our desires may grow to become more and more his desires. He doesn't want us to fast in a gloomy or mournful way, but in a joyful one, as sons of the wedding chamber, because to serve those in need should bring us joy. The Eucharistic fast we live in preparation for Holy Communion is to hunger for a communion with the Lord, to desire him even more, and to desire and love him is to seek, desire, and love what he seeks, desires, and loves. So we come here at the beginning of this retreat, fasting from the stuff in the world and seeking to be filled with his longing. And in response to that longing, the bridegroom will give us something far greater than we could have ever desired on our own. He welcomes us not merely as sons and daughters of the wedding chamber, but as the bride herself, as he prepares us for the consummation of the nuptial union of love, as we on the altar that is the marriage bed of the union between Christ and his bride, the Church, prepare to receive within the body and blood of the bridegroom and become one flesh with him. This, whether we've realized it or not, is what he's made us to hunger for the most. And the more we hunger for this consummation of love with Jesus, the more we will hunger for what he hungers, and the more readily we will go out to continue his mission of caring for a world that starves for him. This is why we're here. This is why he's here. Praise be Jesus Christ.